This gospel reading for today is so mind-boggling. It feels almost like a fairy tale. Could this have really happened? 35 pairs of preachers are sent out to be Jesus in neighboring towns to heal people and proclaim peace, and they took nothing with them. Nothing. Not a wallet, not a phone, obviously. Not a spare pair of undies. Nothing. This feels so freeing to me, for we just spent a week at the beach and our Honda CRV was packed to the gills with a rooftop carrier at the top. And once we got to Bethany Beach, each day to get to the beach took massive prep time. Before we could even get there, we packed 3 coolers of snacks and food and drink. We filled water bottles with ice and water. We needed sunscreen and hats and sunglasses, extra diapers for Phoebe and toys to build sandcastles, towels to dry off and umbrellas and chairs to rest under the umbrellas. So for Mike and the kids and me, plus his parents and his sister and her boyfriend, we were a parade of 8, marching towards the beach like a Tommy Bahama catalog on full display. We had a lot of stuff with us. And even as we drove from Arlington to Bethany with a car full of stuff, you better believe we bought more when we were there. Wawa soft pretzels, an extra towel from the boardwalk shop, a boogie board to test out the waves. And today we leave for family camp at Caroline Furnace, and our car again is packed with all the essentials. Jesus says here, take nothing with you. It sounds amazingly freeing and yet also terrifying. Because if I take nothing, eventually I will need something and I will have to ask for help. I will need to depend on the generosity of others. And that is not easy. We aren't trained for that. If anything, our capitalist society has taught us that dependence is sinful and wrong. We just celebrated our National Day of Independence, yeah? Freedom from tyranny, from overlords and kings, free from needing help from anyone, right? We're free to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We purchase our freedom with our houses and cars, our picket fences, our scheduled grocery pickups, and Prime memberships. Why ask when you can get whatever you need delivered within 48 hours? But we're free, aren't we? And yet perhaps that kind of freedom is just an illusion. It comes at a cost, and it has done a number on us. This version of independence, where we are expected to manage all of our own needs and quiet our pain and somehow solve every problem with sheer force and determination and lonely grit and still have the star-spangled fruit dessert to serve all on our own, that's bananas. And yet, if we say it's bananas, if we admit we cannot manage all of this, surely we have failed. Independence costs us. Almost everyone I know is weighed down and anxious and lonely because deep down we know that all of this independence could disappear in an instant. Because deep down I think we know we are wired not for independence, but inner dependence. Religion professor and author Katie Bowler puts it this way. What if real freedom is about inner dependence, this sacred web of casseroles and inside jokes and group texts that say home in all the ways language can't? As the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. reminds us, we're caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. We are built to depend on each other. We are born this way, completely dependent on our parents and caregivers to nurture us, to feed us every 2 hours, to snuggle our little bodies so we stay warm, to change our bodily fluids as often as necessary. The prophet Isaiah reminded his beloved exiled people this. They had lost everything. Their homes, their cities, their temple, the only way they knew how to connect with God, all of it had been destroyed, and they were living in a foreign land. And yet Isaiah promised to them that God has continued to nurture them, and joy will find them again. God provides. And the more we can remember that, the more we can let go of the control we think we have to have, and the more we can remember that the real stuff of life is in the messy middle of it all. The asking for what we need, and the deep listening and sharing of what we have with everyone else, so that all have what they need. The independence is killing us. And is stopping us from experiencing the abundance and beauty of a creator God who not only wants to bless our life, but the lives of the whole ecosystem with healing for our bodies and our hearts and our minds and a peace that passes all freaking understanding. And dear ones, in the midst of these big, beautiful bills and fireworks and summer heat, can we hear the small, persistent call to continue to care for one another, to stop othering others and remember that this life is supposed to be about the abundance of love. And so, dear church, here is our task at hand. A year and a half ago, when we started this strategic planning process, you all told us that you want to be connected, that you want to be interdependent, but we no longer know how to do that. COVID has ruined us for making long scheduled plans, and crowds make us anxious, and yet we know that we are wired for this interdependence. We are wired for community, and we need it as good medicine against this toxic, independent world that we live in. And so we, as the strategic planning team, as your staff, we want to do this. We want to create some opportunities, but we need your help to do that. Ideas are starting to bubble up, things like a commuter lemonade stand that's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks. We're going to host a neighborhood block party with the help of some Senate grant money in early September. Things are happening. But we can't do it alone. We need some help. We need some hands and feet. And we also want your ideas. So after church today, in the fellowship hall, there are these giant sticky notes with the months of the year. And I want to know, what is your big, hairy idea for Faith Lutheran Church? What can we do to foster community together? If you need some ideas, there are some ideas in our strategic plan in the back of things that we've already come up with. Maybe it's a sing-along movie night. We have this inflatable movie screen, and I've always wanted to go to one of those Sound of Music sing-alongs where you can actually sing along with the movie and no one gives you that weird look, right? We could do that. We have a popcorn machine and an inflatable screen. We could sing the Sound of Music together from start to finish. Or maybe Godspell. That's actually my favorite musical. Hippie Jesus. I'm all about that. What do we want to do? Do we want to pack some apples for AFAC? What do we want to do? Think about it. What do we want to do this year? What do we want to learn this year? How do we want to serve in the next year? Think of an idea, put it under a month, recruit 2 people to help you, show up without your extra undies, and see what happens. What abundance lies underneath the surface here? Because I truly believe with God's help, anything is possible. The kingdom of God is here. We can proclaim peace to one another and celebrate that. talk to me if you have ideas and you're a little hesitant still. We can talk to Jody about logistics. Let this year to come be our year of yes, of joy and abundance and love and interdependence. Can I get an amen? Let me finish with this blessing from Kate Bowler. Dear ones, may we all risk being known, practicing intimacy with the way we listen and share and ask each other questions, even when we might not like the answers. May we learn how to love when it makes no sense and to be loved when our humanity feels like a liability. May we find ourselves reminded that we belong to one another, neighbors, strangers, friends, all wrapped up together in this web of beautiful, terrible interdependence. Amen. Thanks be to God.